Since the higher apes will probably also be exterminated, the break between man and his nearest allies will then be wider, because it will be between Caucasians and baboons, instead of as now between the Negro or Australian and the gorilla. Haeckel obligingly illustrated this point with a drawing in one of his books of an African man sitting in a tree with a chimpanzee, gorilla, and orangutan. In the first decade of the 20th century, anthropologist Madison Grant was both head of the New York Zoological Society and a prominent eugenicist and racist. In 1906, he put a young Congolese pygmy named Ota Benga in the monkey house at the Bronx Zoo alongside an orangutan and exhibited him as an evolutionary missing link between apes and humans. He was freed only after some African-American Baptist clergymen protested against the exhibit for promoting racism and Darwinism. Tragically, Benga later committed suicide. So Darwinism's impact on traditional social values has not been as benign as its advocates would like us to believe. Despite the efforts of its modern defenders to distance themselves from its baleful social consequences, Darwinism's connection with eugenics, abortion, and racism is a matter of historical record, and the record is not pretty. It's the economy, stupid. Some people argue that conservatives should embrace Darwinism because it justifies laissez-faire economics. According to this argument, Darwinism is good because it provides a biological basis for the competition necessary to free market capitalism, and intelligent design is bad because it fosters a top-down regulation harmful to a free economy. Darwin based his theory, in part, on Thomas Malthus's idea that populations increase faster than the resources that they need for survival. A struggle for existence inevitably follows, wrote Darwin, resulting in what he called natural selection and what Herbert Spencer called survival of the fittest. Like Spencer, Darwin and his bulldog, Thomas Henry Huxley, used these ideas to defend laissez-faire economics. So did American sociologist William Graham Sumner. In 1944, historian Richard Hofstadter claimed that similar thinking motivated America's great business leaders. According to Hofstadter, John D. Rockefeller once said that the growth of a large business is merely a survival of the fittest. In 1959, however, historian Irwin Wiley showed that many of Hofstadter's claims were wrong. It was not successful businessmen, but scientists, social scientists, philosophers, clergymen, editors, and other educationally advantaged persons who tended to be Darwinists. Most businessmen relied on the Bible, not the Origin of Species. The words Hofstadter put into the mouth of Bible-reading John D. Rockefeller had actually come from the industrialist's university-trained son. As political scientist John G. West has pointed out, 19th-century American businessmen and economists did praise free enterprise, competition, and laissez-faire capitalism.